The Tech Central show is brought to you by MTN Business. Visit mtnbusiness.co.za to learn all about their products and services. Wirewire Networks is a new entrant in South Africa's highly competitive fiber market. It's aimed at the mass market of consumers in townships, and it's promising uncapped 100 megabit per second internet access for as little as 5 rand. The company is also promising no contracts, no monthly fees, and no installation charges. And it's already rolling out infrastructure in Tembisa, a sprawling township right here in Gauteng. This is what Wirewire is offering its fiber customers. Hourly uncapped internet for 5 rand. Daily internet, and remember this is 100 megabit per second uncapped, for 9 rand a day. Weekly costs 39 rand. And there are other plans as well. So who are these guys? Can they actually make money at these price points? And what are their growth plans? To unpack all of this, I'm very pleased now to welcome JP Schmidtke. JP is the CEO of Wirewire. JP, good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great. So who are you guys? What's your background? And I believe there's a link to Metro Fiber. Please, can you give us the backstory?
There's not really a link to Metro Fiber. I operate a company called Initech Civils.
All right.
So we're an EPC. We build and transfer networks for other operators such as Metro Fiber, Net99 and Evotel. What actually happened was we built a whole amount of sites, mm-hmm. which was close to 15,800 units. And as you know, the fiber industry in 2024 did a bit of a dip. So a lot of people didn't have budgets to buy those assets, which obviously gave me a bit of time to now create Wirewire Networks, the dream come true, and monetize the assets, because it only made sense with the size of network that we have. So Wirewire Networks is a mixture between four different partners. Mm-hmm. There's Initech, which is a main shareholder. Then we've also got Itiega, which is the back end that does the radio servers and does all our management platforms. And then we've also got Intello Capital, which is the initial funder of the network of ours.
Okay.
So that's where it all comes from.
Okay. So you've got a network in Tembisa. How big is it exactly?
So it's 15,816 units. So far, we've connected about 6,300 units, mm-hmm. And it spans from Ivory Park all the way to the other side of Tembisa. You must remember, Tembisa splits into two.
It's huge.
Yeah. So the one side is city of Joburg, and the other side is Ekurhuleni, which is what we call Tembisa. Further to that, we have our own backhaul that connects from AODC all the way into Tembisa High School. And probably the first network that has lit that link up at 100 gigs.
Okay, so 100 gigs.
100 gigs, yeah. So, I mean, at the launch, if you guys are there, we'll prove that and mm-hmm. show that to you. We're just doing field tests at the moment, and we're getting about 678 megs on devices on wireless at the moment in the township.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, we believe that it's needed because of the future-proofing of the network.
Yeah.
Rather than getting an extra dark pair of fiber, we've increased the capacity because the technology is there. Mm-hmm. And also the density, how many people live in Tembisa. We're dealing with devices, we're not dealing with homes. So that makes a very, very big difference.
Yes, yes. I mean, just to so for people who don't live in Gauteng, to get an idea of the size of Tembisa, it pretty much, if you know Midrand, it's kind of east of Midrand and then extends all the way up to the east of Centurion. Am I describing that correctly?
So if you look at Tembisa, you can say it goes from Glen Austin. Mm-hmm. Do you know Glen Austin?
I do, just next to Midrand.
Yes, all the way to Witfontein.
Okay.
All the way to, it's very large, I'd say about 38 kilometers from one side to the other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And I think it's about 120,000 units in total.
Okay. Yeah. And how are people getting connected in the township at the moment? Is it mainly through mobile devices?
Yeah, so there's different networks there. There's the traditional networks, which is like the Herotels, the Vumatels, fiber to the home. But it's not affordable for the individual there. You must understand there's a lot of factors to this. I mean, just the power on the ONT costs the user 35 rand a month. It's 14 kilowatts. So if you're earning a SASSA grant, you can't afford that. That's, out of the 50 kilowatts they get for free, that's like one quarter, So we had to build our model around the people of Tembisa and what would work for them. You know, the having connectivity just at your house for that high price, it doesn't work for the majority of the community there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so tell me about the network you've built there. What technology you've used to say it's a powered network? What does that entail?
So, okay, so the OLTs that we've chosen is Calix OLTs. So we've basically built the POP on a green model. I'm not saying it's 100% green, but the consumption compared to the other brands, we've got battery power banks that can run it for about 15 hours.
Okay.
So we don't really have to rely on generators as a worst-case scenario. When we say powered network, we put UPSs in every single house.
Okay.
Yeah, to make sure that if, you know, the power does go down, that the connectivity is still there. And then obviously it's a mesh network. So, you know, we put a modem in every single house. We bridge all those modems and they all have one SSID that they connect on, and mm-hmm. it'll automatically take them to our captive portal. So I think the difference with us and the normal FNOs is we've gone for a bit of a unified approach. You know, we realize that there are people that want to have their own connection at home, and there are people that just want to buy per device. Mm. So part of our captive portal, we've gone, actually very funny, the release that we had last week, we can actually increment connectivity up to 10 minutes at a time,
mm-hmm.
R1 for 10 minutes. So we've been able to create a slider where they can choose connectivity for what they can actually afford.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key, because, you know, if one fiber ONT goes down, at least there's continuity.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you see yourself mainly displacing people who would get their phone and buy R5 or R10 airtime and Pick n Pay and then connect to WhatsApp or whatever service they're using on their phone? Or do you see your competitor more as maybe fixed LTE type solution, or even other fiber providers?
I wouldn't say that. Sorry to interrupt you. I wouldn't say it's any competitor to any fixed LTE.
Okay.
You know, if you look at the devices, if people are connecting wirelessly to get connectivity on their phone, they can only do it at a certain point. They can't move out of the area.
Mm.
So I would say it's more of a stab at the mobile companies,
okay.
You know, sure. At the end of the day, because, you know, we're creating a wireless mesh network and allowing the people to roam wherever they are. Unlike other models, we're not just focusing on.
So to understand what you're saying, sure. Here, does each house become a Wi-Fi hotspot?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, so we basically install in every single house.
And that's got the same SSID right across.
Right across, and they're all binded together.
The same password.
Yes, and each house gets 100 megs. And that's why we've realized with the amount of people in Tembisa, you know, that a 10 gig backhaul never work.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we pushed it to 100 gig in case, you know, we can handle the load. Okay.
So I could walk from my house to the local spaza shop, do a bit of shopping, go and visit a friend, absolutely. And all that time I can be on your Wi-Fi.
All the way.
Wow.
Wherever our network
is. Is anyone else doing that?
I believe FiberTime has the same sort of model where they have a roaming. Look, the model has been tried and tested.
Mm.
We've tested it. We've seen it being in action. So there is models out there that are doing exactly the same. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, the biggest problem with the model is the power consciousness.
Mm. But there is fiber running into the home.
Yes, yeah. So there's fiber into every house.
So in theory, if I'm living in that township, I could take a laptop, take an Ethernet cable, plug it directly into your network.
So the Ethernet ports are blocked.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The wireless signal is there. So they can connect on their SSID on their laptop and even their TVs.
Right.
You pull their MAC address and attach it as a MAC address on the portal.
Why block the Ethernet ports out of interest?
We don't want people playing with the router. Remember, it's free to use and it's there to create the network for the whole community. We do have another product in development where we can create two SSIDs on the same router, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
We will get there.
So do you put some sort of antenna on each roof? What does it actually look like in practice?
The actual modem. So it's got normal four antennas.
Okay.
It's a wire branded ONT.
It sits inside the dwelling.
It sits inside the house.
Yeah.
Connected to a UPS, connected to the fiber, and delivered with 100 meg every single unit.
Okay.
And that creates that contention for the speed.
You know?
So if you've got 200,000 people going onto it,
mm-hmm.
be supported.
Okay. And the network is itself, is it delivered via, is it aerial fiber? Or
No. So our network is 100% underground.
Okay.
Our whole network is underground.
Does that not make it a lot more expensive?
It does. I mean, you can see our price points are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We prefer to go underground, but, you know, in terms of volume, we're going to have to go the aerial route.
Yes.
Look, our prices, the prices that we've set, that we know is affordable to the community, based on also the equipment that we use and that we deploy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So there've been quite a. We've mentioned a couple of the other players in the space, but there's been quite a lot of development. We saw obviously the Vuma Key initiative in Alex, and I think in Kaya Mundi and outside Stellenbosch as well. You mentioned Fibertime. I think Frogfoot has got some initiatives on the go as well. There's obviously a business people are seeing a big opportunity in the township fiber market. How big is the opportunity in your view?
Well, as far as I understand, we've only passed 4 million homes in South Africa. And we've got probably another 18 million to go. So I think the opportunity is huge. And with the development also, you know, I think for student accommodation where people need that affordability, there is a market for it.
How low down into that market can you push? I mean, what is the – you mentioned 18 million additional homes. But, some people live in shacks. Can you deliver fiber to a shack?
Absolutely. So we do fiber to shacks, but it has to be registered with prepaid meters.
Okay.
We can't go to informal areas. But the difference is what we're also doing is we're creating mesh hotspots.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work as well as the model that we've created now, so we're still doing research on the right product.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is to create a full coverage of the whole area. Just like the school that we've done in Tembisa High, we haven't just delivered them internet. We have literally created a mesh network around the whole school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea. It's to make sure that wherever you go from suburb to suburb, you can still get that signal,
okay,
connectivity. You know, I think the biggest thing is good enough, available, and affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the three topics. And the psychological thing behind it is, it's a very hard decision to make to spend 500 rand a month on your internet, but it's a very, very easy decision to make if you have to spend 5 rand for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Even a kid could afford it.
Yeah, yeah. And consumers in that market are used to the prepaid mobile model.
Absolutely.
So it makes sense to them.
Yeah. So
they're used to it.
Yeah, we've integrated with all of them, Easy Pay, One Voucher. So we've made sure that we've gone through all the spectrums, Capitec, credit card, okay, a debit card.
Right.
And it's in the township, it's like that. You walk 5 meters, there's a spaza shop, you buy your voucher, and you're online.
Yeah.
You know, so it works for them in that sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have a direct go-to-market strategy, or do you work through partners like ISPs, for example?
No, so we closed access at the moment.
Okay.
We are busy working on a model with another FNO to try and see how we can integrate our services on their network as an extra layer.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that's going to be successful yet, but we are open to working with partners.
Okay.
Like I said, we are live in Tembisa, and the subscribers are picking up, so we'll have to see.
Tell me, but then you mentioned your shareholders, your backers at the beginning of the discussion. Maybe just touch on those names again, and how much financial resources you have behind you at this stage, and whether you're looking to raise additional funding down the line as you look to expand beyond Tembisa.
Sure. Look, we've already packaged the network into, you could say we've spent 120 million to date.
Okay.
We do have funding lines that are already in waiting for us to open up. So our ambition is to grow. I think the next phase will be the next 42,000 units.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to get through the first 16,000 units and make sure it's stable and, you know, what the community needs.
Yeah, yeah. But in terms of future fundraising, are you looking at debt, equity?
Yeah, so we are looking at debt at the moment. Mm-hmm. We've got about 3 different debt lines at the moment that we're looking at. But it's like anything, proof is in the pudding, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, until that comes through. But in terms of what we've put down and the risk we've put down a lot of money down. So getting debt is not an issue, and mm-hmm. equity is not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
We are amenable to both.
Okay, okay. And those backers you mentioned, just run
sure. through those. So Intella Capital does more asset finance leasing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they funded our projects in terms of build and transfer with other FNOs. And obviously, when we couldn't get rid of the assets, they were left as a funder.
Yes.
Which we obviously flipped from the debt into equity.
So it sounds like, JP, the process of signing up as a customer has been largely automated. You've got this captive portal where you log in and sign up. Just take us through the process.
It's quite simple. I mean, it's almost like if you're at the airport, you know, you open your phone, you look for a Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
You'll see wire, fiber. You'll click on that. It'll open another page. When you open that page, it'll ask for your cell phone number. Mm-hmm. Once you put your cell phone number, it will then pull back and it will ask you for an OTP. You'll put the OTP in, and now you've authenticated that cell phone number. And when you have done that, we have now picked up your MAC address, mm-hmm. of your cell phone. So you'll buy a session for that MAC address.
Okay.
Right? So it'll be five rand, 9 rand, 39 rand, 119 rand. But the difference with our portal is what we're adding more intelligence is multiple devices. So like I said, some people want packages. Mm. So we've got a package which is $449 for 8 devices. And we've got another package which is $1120 for 15 devices. The difference between the $449 and the $1120 is our network covers all the SMMEs in the area as well.
Okay.
So we don't just go past homes. We go past shacks. We go past houses. We go past SMMEs. And that's to create that.
Schools.
Schools, absolutely everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
And that supports the process. And once you've bought that session, it automatically enables your phone. And then you can start managing your devices. You know, let's swap from my phone to my TV in case you can't afford an extra package. That's the basic process.
Okay. So take us through all the plans. It starts with at 5 rand for an hourly uncapped internet access to one device.
Yep.
And then I mentioned the daily plan, which is 9 rand a day. I presume that's for one device as well.
Yep.
And weekly at 39 also for one device.
Yes.
What are the plans beyond that?
So then you get 119 rand a month for one device. Then you get a 449 for 8 devices and a 1120 for 15 devices.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So I imagine that 449 might be popular in households with lots of people in them?
We don't know yet, but we put that option there because we feel that people need that you know, option. I mean, you must also remember that we have to be very protective of the kids in the township.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just allow kids to sign up on our portal. And I think other networks haven't really thought about that. So, you know, in terms of a child signing up, can't be under the age of 18.
Because of the content you can access online.
Absolutely. Mm. And also the parents will then be the guardian that will sign up for the kid and add their device and have control on their connectivity.
Mm.
And I think that's, you know, that's part of the intelligence that we've included.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then obviously there's other things that we're adding, watching videos. You know, watch a video for 30 seconds and you get points. One thing I didn't mention, so essentially what happens, you'll buy 5 rand and it'll convert that into tokens, right? You'll buy your connectivity with the tokens.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we have now a slider in terms of connectivity, meaning you can't afford 5 rand, you've only got 1 rand on your account, we can allow you to still use your tokens to buy 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Credible. Credible business model. I've spoken to other guys who say wireless makes a lot more sense in these sort of environments. The guys at Riot Network, we had them in the studio last year. I don't know if you know them, but they're rolling out a wireless mesh network in Leeuwenhoutbosch.
Okay.
And they believe they can get the prices driven right down because they're using wireless backhaul and wireless links everywhere rather than fiber. What's your take on this? I mean, obviously you're a fiber man, but do you think there's a place for both?
I wouldn't know. To be honest with you, I've seen a lot of wireless networks, and I find that, especially with these wireless networks, remember that, you know, those networks are receiving signal in the air. Mm. Our signal's coming from underground or through fiber. So my take on the wireless networks, as soon as the weather goes bad, the connectivity starts disappearing. And, you know, the three words that we built our model around was good enough, available, and affordable. And that's the reason why we believe that our Wi-Fi model is probably a more robust model in terms of connectivity because it will be always available. It'll always be good enough.
Yes.
And it will always be affordable.
Okay. Where next after Tembisa?
Sure. Probably Mauritius.
for your customers, not you.
Well, to be honest with you, we haven't done any footprint planning yet.
Okay.
Our focus has been really on building the the backhaul for Tembisa, creating the systems and the portals. But like I said, we do have an ambition to do another 42,000 units in that same area. And like I said, it's...
How many homes are there in Tembisa?
I think about 120,000. Okay. That's including the COJ site.
Right.
You must remember that Tembisa is a bit of a funny animal. And I'm not saying it's a funny animal, but the municipality in Ekurhuleni, they don't allow any aerial networks.
Really?
Yes. It's actually a resolution that they passed through council that says you're not allowed to do aerial because it devalues the price of your property. Mm-hmm. So that's why our model is very flexible. It's kind of hybrid. You know, we look at the area and we say, okay, what is allowed and what is not allowed? You know, we would rather work with the community. I think the other thing we've done is we've created virtual boundaries. You know, a lot of people, we take a township as a complex. So if we look at, let's say, an area called Tamong, we actually create boundaries within that area so we have individuals that are on hand to help the consumers immediately.
Okay.
So we do everything through the community.
Right.
And I can proudly say the network built in Tembisa. It's probably 80% of the community that built that with their own two hands. No contractors. So
interesting. Yeah, I know that a lot of the fiber players have had issues with these so-called construction mafia and criminal gangs in the township. So did you come across
this? No, because at the end of the day, all they want is work. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. So our motto is, you do 70, we'll do 30. We'll just watch you.
Okay.
You know, and it just stops all the fights.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, there's enough work for everyone to go around.
Yeah. So, JP, just lastly, maybe give us a little bit of anecdotes on what the community is actually saying. You've deployed, how many homes did you say are now live?
Right now, there's 5,800 that are live.
Yeah.
And we've dropped into 6,300 homes.
And what are the stories you're hearing from the community have been connected? What are they telling you? What are they using it to do?
Well, we remember the network was live under another operator, so we had to do a cut over and take over the network.
Okay.
So we are at that process right now. After the 14th, then, you know, the users will start feeling the benefits of using the ONTs and the network. Mm-hmm. So after the launch, then it'll be game on.
Okay. Great. JP Schmidtke is CEO of Wire Wire Networks. Thank you so much for sharing this information with Tech Central today. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.